Amen. Take your seats, please. And I want to talk this morning. I've headed up my talk called Winning the Prize. And the last Sunday of every month, if we don't have a more guest-type service in the month, we just want to make it more specifically inclusive and to include the gospel message in there. So I'll try to do that in what we're saying today. Because we want LifeSpring to be relevant to anybody who comes along anytime, but particularly we want to make sure that people understand the good news of Jesus. So winning the prize or paying the price, it depends how you look at it. But I want to read from Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. As I say, paying the price or winning the prize. I prefer to look at it with that second part of the title, winning the prize, really, because I want to talk today on the prize which the Lord has won for us. And yet, to get hold of it, there is a price to pay, and yet in God's economy, it's always worth the price. You see, the prize, Jesus says in this parable, is the kingdom of God. So I guess it depends how much you value the kingdom of God as to how much you want to pay to get hold of it. But the kingdom of God, Jesus says, it's like treasure. It's like the most amazing pearl. I think we've got some pictures here, Craig. It's like the most amazing pearl that you've ever seen. And getting hold of it is more important than anything else in your life. In modern day language, I was thinking, maybe it's like a musician. He sees and he hears in his mind the most amazing tune and lyrics. He sees the video to accompany it. Actually, Jackie and I, or I think it was Emily and I, were watching a tribute to Freddie Mercury a few months ago. Queen, you remember that band? And it was interesting just to hear one of the interviews which he gave, because The song which I think first remember is Bohemian Rhapsody. And everybody was saying to Freddie Mercury, it's never going to work, it's never this, it's going to be too long, nobody's going to buy it, it's costing too much money. But he refused to budge an inch. He had seen something in his mind. He knew what it was going to feel like and look like. And of course, when he eventually released it, it became one of the most famous songs in that decade anyhow, and probably still is. That we didn't have them particularly in mind, but a musician, he sees what he has in mind. And he's won gold discs before, possibly. But this is platinum material. And he knows it. So everything else has to go. The good has to be replaced with the best. It's costly. The best musicians are hired. The visual effects guys are going to be the experts. So Craig's going to get even busier. There's months of practice of saying no to other attractions, even being maybe slightly ridiculed at by other bands who've released an album or two while you're still working on this particular song. But then one day the song comes out. The song is launched immediately, number one hit in the UK, in the United States, and across the world. And it stays there for weeks, selling millions. A picture of paying the price to get hold of your dream. But it was a price. It would have been a price worth paying. Or it's like an aspiring professional footballer. He wants to play for the best team in the Premiership. He wants to play for England. Every minute of the day, he's practicing. He misses out on his mates' nights out in the evenings. He's getting up early to practice. He's watching his diet. He's not making the regular trips to McDonald's because he has a dream. He wants to be the best. Then one day some scouts come down to London and they see his skill and the potential and the dedication, and they sign him up to play for Manchester United. He knows he could get into lesser teams, but will he make it in this team? And as a young teenager, he works hard. He abides his time. And eventually he makes the first team. He becomes a regular. His place is assured. But while everyone else finishes training and goes off to have a drink, he stays out there. He's practicing. He wants to get even better. More free kicks, more crossing the balls every day. He continues to be the best that he can be. He'd spent everything to get hold of this pearl. And in his time, he became the best crosser of the ball in the world and the best at free kicks. He became automatic for England. His name, of course, was David Beckham. We could mention hundreds of others from the music world, from the sports world, from the academic world, from the world of business and politics. They all had a dream, having a goal, and they've all worked hard. But in order to accomplish it, they've had to pay a price to fulfill it. But what Jesus is saying is more than all of that. The pearl, the treasure, the platinum disc, the international caps and adulation, it's not what man has accomplished. What Jesus has in mind is far more beautiful and valuable. It's the kingdom of God. It's the will of God. That expression of his government and rule in our lives. His presence. His spirit. His hope and calling. His dreams for me and my family. We may have only tasted something, but what we've tasted is good. And Jesus says, when you see the treasure, when you see the pearl, when you see the platinum disc, you're going to give up everything else to get hold of it. Because the kingdom of God is worth it. Paul describes the kingdom of God as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's attractive. It is the pearl of great price. In this troubled world, to know what it is to be right with God and with each other, and to experience a peace which is beyond understanding, in a world economy which seems out of control, while costs are rising and incomes not keeping up, it is still possible to have an inner peace that God has everything in hand if the kingdom of God has come upon us. In the midst of adversity and disappointments and pressures of life, to know an inner joy. In his presence, David says, there is fullness of joy. And when the Holy Spirit comes, an expression of the kingdom of God, his presence comes, and there's a joy to draw on, not based on circumstances around us, but on the promise that his presence will never leave us. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, that supernatural realm of heaven invading our bit of earth. We refuse to be worried. We refuse to be stressed. We refuse to be depressed. The Holy Spirit has put something special inside of us. His Spirit is bringing his presence, his kingdom. And Jesus says, this is a treasure, but you've got to pay a price to get it, but it's worth going for because it changes everything. It's worth giving up everything to get hold of this precious gift. I'm going to use words a little bit interchangeably here, which strictly speaking, if you're more theological than me, aren't really interchangeable, but it doesn't take away from the meaning. I mean, this pearl, this treasure, it's life. It's abundant life. Now. Not just waiting for the future, it starts now when he comes. It's salvation, an assurance of eternal life, an assurance of our forgiveness, because it's forgiveness And what a joy to know totally all of our sins have gone and have been forgiven. The slate has been wiped clean. Hallelujah. And there's no other way of knowing that other than through receiving the kingdom of God, receiving the gift of Jesus, the sacrifice which he gave in order to sort out the sin problem in our life. What a joy to know the slate is totally clean. I think that's forgiveness, Craig. All our sins forgiven. It's hope and it's faith for the future. We haven't seen anything yet. And the world may be getting darker. And the world looks doom and gloom if you listen to... I mean, I heard somebody saying about the latest political party thing. You know, I just wish he could have been a little bit more positive about the future. But to be honest, there's not an awful lot to be positive about at the moment from an economic point of view. But for those of us with God in our hearts, we've got a hope. We've got faith for a future which is better than what we're experiencing now. Hallelujah. And it's us enjoying and experiencing his favor, his blessing, his pleasure on our lives. All aspects of the kingdom of God, all available to each one of us through what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. So that's the price. But what's the cost, you ask? Well, in the parables, it was about selling everything on one hand to get hold of this the pearl, and embracing everything on the other, the field and everything, to get hold of the treasure. But I just want to refer to a verse from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So what it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. In other words, for the prize, the treasure, which he could see in front of him. The restoration of all things. Salvation for mankind. Sin, Satan, sickness and death totally defeated. Hell plundered. Heaven populated. God's family, the church, empowered and filled with his presence. This is what Jesus could see. This was the joy set before him, filling the earth with a glorious gospel. And millions and millions and millions through the ages and now finding salvation. For this joy set before him, Scripture says, he endured the cross. He paid a price, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus paid the price. He not only sold everything in the sense that he left heaven and he became man, he left behind deity and divinity. I know he was always God, but he was actually 100% man while he was here on earth. And he embraced what he needed to embrace for us. He paid the ultimate price. He was scourged. He was tortured. He was executed in agony because of his dream to see you and me, to see millions saved. And at midday, darkness fell. His father turned his face away because the sins of the whole world were heaped on Jesus. And he who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. I sometimes wonder if the darkness was also his father, that's great, covering the shame and the humiliation of his perfect son, holy son, hanging naked, bleeding, horribly disfigured. Not only did he have to turn his face, but he didn't want others to see the humiliation of his son either. But that was the price Jesus chose to pay. He bought the field. And he thought it was worth it because of his incredible love for you and for me. For the joy set before him, he endured the agony of rejection, separation, pain on the cross, that we might receive the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. How do we get hold of this treasure? Well, in one sense, it's totally free because Jesus has paid the price. In another sense, it costs you everything. But when a jailer came to Paul, an earthquake had happened, the prisoners were about to run out, and he knew if any prisoner escaped, he would be executed the next day. Paul says, "It's okay, we're all here, don't kill yourself." And the jailer felt conviction fall on him when these holy men were in this prison. And he said, "Well, what have I got to do to be saved?" Paul said very simply, "Jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." It is as simple as that. There's a faith transaction that takes place. Not works, not church, not reading your Bible, not doing this, not doing that. Simple faith and belief. And you can be saved. It's totally free. But as I say, costs everything. But then, it's not really a cost, is it? It's a privilege. It's a call. Yes, we're called to follow him. Yes, we're called to change our mind, to change our thinking, resulting in a change of actions. It's called repentance. Because actually the old way of life isn't as good as the new anyhow. Yes, we're called to discipleship. Yes, we're called to putting him first and living for him in our lives. But all that's good, all that's better. And we call it a cost. But it's not really a cost. It's a privilege, isn't it? Somebody say, "Yes, this is good. It's good. It's better than our previous life. It's his kindness which leads us to repentance. It's his kindness which brings the revelation of the wonderful salvation of Jesus into our lives. And actually, at the end of the day, it's the least we could do for him when we consider what he did for us to live our lives for him." Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, Paul says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, this incredible sacrifice and love, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." The New Living Translation puts it this way, "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. This is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service." In view of all he's done, he's calling us to lay down our lives that he might give us more of his. It's a brilliant transaction which he's calling us to. Joel Houston from Hillsong puts it this way, "You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand." So what can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, O God, completely to you? So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. John, I don't know if the band would like to begin to get up there. The treasure for Jesus was you and me. And he left everything to buy this pearl, that we might be saved and become children of God. The treasure for you and me is being right with God, knowing peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, knowing sins forgiven, eternal life, now and forever. He paid the price, but it will cost us everything. But it's worth it. So let's stand. I'd like us just to sing this song. It's not in closing. I've got a few more words to say after this, but let's just stand and I'd like us to sing this song. And I just want to give the opportunity to anybody here who maybe for the first time wants to make a commitment to be a disciple of Jesus. You want to get hold of this treasure. You want to experience eternal life. You want to know what it is to have your sins totally forgiven and to feel no guilt, to feel clean, to feel in right relationship with God. If that applies to anybody here, while we're singing this song, why don't you just make your way forward? I'd like to pray with you. But I also just want to give the opportunity to anybody who maybe you've been a Christian for a while and maybe today just something has come afresh. Wow, I've forgotten what he did for me. And my life doesn't really show the sort of reasonable worship that